Hello, this is Tokyo Cheaper on our very first podcast. I'm Chris Kirkland, and joining me today is the infamous cheapo, Greg Lane.
I don't know if I'm more infamous than you, but yeah.
I don't know. I think your profile says it all. You walk. You mentioned walking an hour to save 150 yen on a tube fare.
160, but yeah, I guess so.
You've been just arguing over that 10 yen.
Yeah, it's 10 yen.
Yeah, exactly.
Big difference.
Welcome to Tokyo Cheapo Podcast. Think Tokyo's expensive? Well, think again. We'll be giving all you cheapos, spendthrifts and cheapasses all the best tips for visiting and living in Tokyo on a pittance. Cheap sushi, cheap sausages, cheap dates, cheap dogs, cheap hotels, cheap holidays, cheap sumo, cheap salads, cheap bikes.
So for the uninitiated, Tokyo Cheapo is a site about living in or visiting Tokyo on the cheap. So we cover everything from things to do on the weekend through to places to stay. So this podcast is basically just a roundup of things that have appeared on the site over the last 2 weeks.
Chance to hear some cheapo tips direct from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, we can kind of crap on a bit about what we know about each article.
Well, let's get stuck in. So, you did a great post last week on the top 10 public artworks in Tokyo.
Why, thank you.
Yes. So, how about you tell us a bit about the top 10?
Okay, sure. Right, so, yes.
Firstly, what do you mean by public artworks?
Public art, it's just art that's in public. So it could be murals, it could be sculptures, statues, kind of installations, that kind of thing. There's a lot of clocks on the list, actually. So the first one I started with was a work by Hundertwasser. Do you know who Hundertwasser is?
I don't know who Hundertwasser is. Sounds okay. German.
Okay, he's an Austrian artist and architect who is kind of famous for building these kind of sculptures and buildings that incorporate these kind of really surreal shapes with natural things. So, and he's also famous for teaching in the nude, but,
nice.
Yeah, you don't see any of that at,
saves on buying clothes.
Sorry, what was that?
Saves on the expenditure for buying clothes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He's obviously a cheapo.
Yeah.
So, nice. Apart from that, we've got, a work by, Okamoto Taro, or Taro Okamoto, if you want to say it the Western way. Have you heard about this guy?
I haven't heard about this guy.
Okay. He's, pretty much, Japan's most famous kind of, modern sculptor or artist, I guess. So he's most well known for this, massive kind of, figure. That was the centerpiece of the Osaka Expo in 1970. Have you seen that thing? It's really big, really tall, and it's kind of it's hard to describe. But I mean, if you look at the article, it's a bit similar to that clock tower, except it's much, much, much bigger. Right. So so Taro Okamoto has various works around Tokyo. So this is one of them. It's not actually one of the most famous. People tend to kind of talk about his mural in Shibuya Station.
Yeah. Or, that's the one on the huge one on the wall.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Which has an interesting story too. Apparently that was rescued from Mexico. So he actually painted it in Mexico, and it was in a really poor state. And someone found it, and they said, you know, they figured out it was a Taro Okamoto mural, and they transported the whole wall, the big massive blocks of concrete across the ocean and stuck it into Shibuya Station.
Wow. I note that one isn't on the 10 top 10 list.
No, it isn't. So maybe I'll have
maybe
to do
that's a bonus one. Yeah. That's what you get for listening to the podcast. You get a bonus artwork. That's at Shibuya Station.
That's the mural is at Shibuya Station.
By the Inokashira Line entrance.
Yeah, that's right.
One other thing that's not on the list, the Golden Turd.
The golden turd. Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure if that's more of an architectural feature or a public artwork.
Anyway, maybe we'll cover that
in another list.
In another list, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Marvelous. So that's the top 10 best public artworks in Tokyo.
Yeah. I mean, I won't go into all of them because I could probably talk for half an hour. Yeah. But you know, some of the other ones I mentioned are Maman. I guess you say Mama.
Uh huh.
That's the big spider at Roppongi Hills, so everyone knows that one.
But check out the blog post to see the rest.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll leave it there. Okay, so
we've got some cheapo weekend action.
Okay, yeah, so I thought we'd just discuss some of the events that happened recently. So it's not quite Halloween at the moment, but Halloween is pretty much finished in Japan because most people in Japan, Halloween is parties on the weekend. So, you have an interesting story about your experiences.
Yeah, Halloween probably had my most fun in Tokyo for Halloween, and I have to confess, partly due to being in Roppongi, which is a bit of a kind of foreigner zoo in Tokyo. Anybody who lives here will know this. It's kind of highest density of foreigners getting drunk and just kind of making a mess, basically. But that also comes with the added bonus of Halloween being full of people dressed up doing weird shit and it being quite a spectacle.
Yeah.
However,
definitely.
My story is before I got to Roppongi. I was my Halloween outfit was dressing up as a maid, as you do on Halloween, and I had to meet my friends at Ebisu Station on my own, dressed up as a maid.
Yeah,
and it's the first time I'd gone out dressed as a maid in Japan, and I think indeed in any country in the world. And it was just such a great reaction. I was just stood there at the station and, you know, girls smiling, laughing and kind of, you know, saying hello just because I was dressed as a maid. So this was a really good discovery for me. Halloween or not, guys just go out dressed as a maid.
Okay, I'll have to try it.
Yeah.
Actually, I did notice something interesting. I didn't go to any parties, but just walking around on like Friday and Saturday night, there was a lot of people in costumes, and it seems, especially for Japanese women, there's one kind of requirement of a Halloween costume. It has to be sexy.
Yeah.
There's no kind of, you know, goofy dressing up as a teddy bear or anything. There was a lot of like sexy devils
I've seen sexy teddy bears.
Sexy teddy bears?
Yeah, like teddy bear ears, but you know, a nice mini skirt.
Yeah, I did notice the people I saw, they looked a bit embarrassed. They looked like they obviously weren't at the party they were going to. They were trying to get there, so they kind of looked like, a bit like they were kind of streaking from the station to where they were going. They, you know, kind of covering up various parts of their bodies with their hands and things.
No, it's a good night in Tokyo, Halloween.
Yeah, it's definitely unique.
Another one mentioned on the previous Chico weekend is the university festivals.
Yeah, that's right. So it's university festival season right now.
Which is another big party opportunity. I think we might have covered this in a previous post, but basically the universities in Tokyo and I think quite likely other cities will often have a little festival. And you know, they'll have bands playing, they'll have food. It's just like a kind of, you know, full-on festival, except it's the demographic is, you know, 80% student age, maybe 90%. So
actually, I should mention we had a comment on the site from someone asking about the university festivals because I profiled a festival at a woman's university, and he kind of asked if it was okay for like normal members of the public to go to a women's university festival, and I kind of assured him it was okay, but he mentioned that because apparently a friend of his went to one of these festivals and they all looked at him funny. So
well, that could have just been because he wasn't Japanese.
Yeah, that could be part of it. I mean, age too. I mean, you know, like you said, it mainly attracts, you know, university age people. So,
well, I've been to quite a few university festivals, and you know, I never felt out of place.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been because we were at universities that were more central, and you know, it was much easier for public to just kind of drift into them.
But right. Yeah, I can't imagine.
The ones I went to were open to the public.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one other event. I didn't actually attend this event, but I thought it was one of the more interesting things that we covered was an activity called kakunori. Have you heard of it?
I haven't. What is kakunori?
It's a. It's kind of hard to describe. It's a bit like log rolling, you know, the kind of sport you see like Canadians doing, like where they kind of jump on a log and roll it in the water. Except it's kind of on square beams, and it requires lots of balancing.
Right.
So what they'll do is they'll pile boxes on top of the beam, and they'll kind of, you know, put ladders on it and things, and do all this kind of interesting kind of balancing.
Sounds, so it
seems to be some kind of art that's kind of was developed in the Edo period. So it's kind of still going, which is kind of interesting.
Marvelous. And can anyone go and take part, or is it a spectator activity?
Spectator sport. I mean, it's not. You wouldn't want to try it yourself. You'd just end up straight in the water, I imagine. Okay, so shall we move on to looking at some of the other articles?
What else have we got? Modeling in Tokyo. This is worth an honourable mention all the cheapos out there. If you're tired of teaching English or God knows what other cheapo jobs people do out there, modeling is a nice, easy, cash-in-hand job.
Apparently.
We know a couple of people who've done this, and I don't think they're particularly selective with who they choose for models, because the selection on offer of foreigners in Tokyo is pretty narrow. So basically, we've understood that the main criteria is how tall you are.
Yep.
If you're a bit of a short ass like me, then maybe you won't get picked. Mind you, actually, I have had people approach me on the street asking me to do a screen test.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever had that. But
I've never had that. I've had TV crews approaching me and stuff, but I mean, just for you know, interviews comments. And things, but not for not for scouting.
No, I had it happen once. But anyway, I've got a friend who's pretty tall, and he made a nice little weekend bonus by doing modeling a few times.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard, the money doesn't sound as good as it seems. I think Aaron, the guy who wrote the article, mentioned that the fees are around 10,000 yen an hour, I think.
Yeah.
Which sounds really good, but there's a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
Which you don't get paid for, and there's you know, even waiting around, which apparently you don't get paid for. So it probably ends up being a lot less money than you imagine.
But if you're after fame as well as fortune,
sure, I guess so.
Which maybe piqued Aaron's interest.
Sure.
So moving on from modelling to the Marrowed Inn.
I wrote a review of this hotel, which is located in Akasaka.
I've actually stayed in several branches of the Marrowed Inn. And
do they all have the silly spelling?
They do, yes.
Okay.
The capital
two capital R's in the middle.
There's some kind of concept behind this. I can't remember what it is. I thought it was something French or Italian.
Okay, I thought it might be British.
I don't know. Let me not lead us on a wild goose chase trying to figure out the Italian origin of a Japanese company that's got nothing to do with Italy, and say that it's a good cheapo option.
Yeah.
And I didn't stay in the one that you reviewed though. I stayed in one in the Yamanashi. That was super cheap. I think.
Yeah, this one's the single rooms are around 6,700 yen, and they have twins for about 10,200, which is okay, but it's not super, super cheap.
Yeah, I think we got a twin for 6,000 or less, maybe it was even less.
It could, wow, 6,000, like, that's cheap for a twin.
Yeah, it might have been even like 5 or something. It was a real good deal. We did a road trip for a few days, walking around the base of Fujisan, Mount Fuji, and that was our stop off. Was the this? I think it was Yamanashi.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I don't think there's nothing remarkable about the hotel. It's just a place to stay, and you know, it's like I said in the article, it's clean, it's cheapish, and it's central. So you know,
it's actually being a cheapo, I have stayed in a few different cheap places, and I think it was the there were no nasty surprises. I have stayed in some cheapo places, and you know, they've just kind of been, although they've been clean, they've just been a bit kind of grim, and like the blankets were kind of too thin and this kind of stuff, but it was comfortable. It was if you after no frills, sure, it was a good place to stay.
Okay, let's move on. So another article that featured on the site recently was something about Uta Hiroba.
That sounds suspiciously like karaoke to me.
It is, it is. It's actually, the nickname is actually Uta Hiro for people who go there regularly, I guess. So I haven't actually had a lot of experience with this place, but I do have a very clear memory of going there about 12 years ago when I first came to Japan.
Yeah.
And It's a bit different than most karaoke places because it's completely self-serve. So what you do is you, when you feel like a drink, you just go out to this kind of central area and they have a bar and you just, you know, help yourself.
Nice.
So it's great for like, you know, meeting people if you know, because obviously everyone has to go to the bar, so you know you can strike up a conversation.
Nice. That's kind of one of the things that you miss with Japanese style karaoke. Well,
yeah, being
Japanese
in the room
invented it, but yeah, I mean, for listeners who haven't yet been to Japan, Japanese karaoke you do in a little booth with your friends, and there's no kind of public stage, and it's just, you know, you're in your own little booth doing your own thing. So this concept of actually being able to have some chance of speaking to somebody who isn't your friends is that's quite novel. But
yeah, and it's unbelievably cheap, this place. It's they have an all you can drink non-alcoholic course for 240 yen an hour.
Nice.
And I think if you want alcohol, you add about 700 yen, but still 900 yen an hour for all you can drink plus karaoke is pretty cheap.
Nice. And pro tip, which I think spans all karaoke places, if you're if you can go during the day, then the prices are, predictably much cheaper.
Yeah, and Friday and Saturdays are the peak rates, so you pay a bit more on those days.
If you're looking for a place to practice singing, then afternoon in the karaoke booth on your own is the most cost-effective. Well, you could go to one of the parks, but then you wouldn't have Michael Jackson backing tracks to sing along.
Right, right. Yeah, it helps.
Yeah.
Okay, so next is a couple of food articles written by Melissa, who is our food writer.
Cheapo foodie.
Yes, yes. So the first one was Heroku Sushi. Do you know Heroku Sushi?
I've never been myself. I've been to a lot of sushi chains, so I might have stumbled into this one and not remembered.
Yeah, it's quite possible. I mean, they have quite a well-known store, the one in Omotesando.
Right.
So there's a very prominent one in Omotesando, kind of opposite Omotesando Hills. So
it's for the posh cheapo.
Yeah, well, it's not really. I mean, it's quite reasonable, you know, like 120 yen for a sushi plate. And it's okay. I mean, but this is kind of an example of you know, if you want really top-class sushi, you can pay a lot of money for it. But, you know, you can get decent sushi at any kind of kaiten sushi, which is the, you know, the sushi train kind of places.
Let's maybe clarify what decent means. for Philistines like us who weren't brought up in Japan.
I guess it's my point of reference. I mean, I'm originally from New Zealand, so you know, if you go to a nice Japanese restaurant in New Zealand, you might get sushi as good as one of these kaiten sushi places,
or maybe 7-Eleven.
Yeah, that's
my benchmark.
I don't know.
I would say that Japanese restaurant in London, sushi's maybe kind of something around the convenience sushi in Tokyo.
Yeah, okay, that's probably a fair comparison.
So, but basically, if you weren't brought up in Japan, then pretty much any kaiten sushi place you're gonna think it's good. Yeah, whereas Japanese will probably disagree. They'll kind of
there's plenty of people that I've mentioned. I don't know if you remember the three nights article. We had a bit of interesting feedback about that because I mentioned places like I think it's the place you suggested with the Maguro Don.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, like the tuna slices on the rice.
Yeah, Maguro Ichiba.
Yeah, I think so. That was one of the places, and someone kind of I think it was on Reddit mentioned that, you know, how could you come to Tokyo and not try the absolute best food?
Yeah.
But you know, I think it's the average standard of food is just so good. You don't have to unless you're a real foodie, go out of your way to find those kind of special places.
But yeah, you can be a cheapo and get really good food in Tokyo.
Yeah. But I think probably the point of that article and probably one of the points of the site is, you don't have to eat cheap on every single meal, everyday stuff, why waste your money?
Yeah.
Okay, so next one was another thing which I think Tokyo does really well, which is pizza.
Pizza, yeah. You can get some good pizza in Tokyo.
Yeah. So Melissa did another article about a place called Rocco's Pizza. So Rocco's Pizza is a kind of a bit unusual in Tokyo in that it has New York style pizza.
Oh yeah.
Are you familiar with New York style pizza?
Are we talking about stuff which is kind of more doughy and big toppings?
I guess so. I
understand Italian pizza to be kind of thin.
Yeah.
And like not big. It's, you go to Pizza Hut and you've got this massive lump of dough with kind of loads of stuff piled on it. Whenever I have an Italian pizza, it's just like this kind of thin crust with a fairly light sauce on top. So maybe that's, is that what New York pizza is? The big chunky...
I think it might be a bit thicker than Italian style pizza. It seems to be kind of I don't know. We probably should have tried some, but it's kind of floppy from what I can tell. You've got to kind of fold it up to eat it.
Right.
So, anyway, there was it was interesting. There's quite a strong reaction on the site and Facebook and Twitter. So it seems there's a lot of people who are really passionate about. Like the different styles of pizza.
So some pizza snobs out there.
Yeah. I guess it seems to be an American thing, Chicago pizza and New York pizza.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't really know the difference, but, these people seem to be quite passionate about it.
Well, I think whatever your passion is for pizza, Tokyo's probably got one of every option from the traditional Italian style to the, I don't know, whatever the New York or Chicago style is, but
definitely.
I've seen there's, I remember, do you know what's it called? Sparrow? Sounds a bit like Sparrow, but it's S-B-A-R-O.
Oh, Sparrow. Okay, I know the one, yeah.
It's like some kind of international chain that's finally turned up in Tokyo, and they've got a little pizza slice place just by the entrance to Shibuya Station.
Oh, yeah, and, I think I know the one.
That was always popular with my American friends.
Yeah,
and
Salvatore is another good one.
Yeah, that's a chain that started in Japan.
Salvatore, you mean?
Isn't it a chain that started in Japan?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It started in Japan.
Italian Brothers or something.
It's very good.
And another honourable mention is Italy. Do you know what Italy is?
It's a supermarket.
It's kind of supermarket, and they've got a little pizza restaurant in there as well.
Okay.
It's in Daikanyama. It's maybe a little bit on the top end of your cheapo budget, but you can still get a margarita for 1,200 yen, I think it is.
It's all right.
But it's really good. They ship in Italian chefs, and they have good concept. They've kind of got this large space in Daikanyama, and they've obviously filled up a load of shipping containers with olive oil and olives and cheese and the cured meat. They've shipped it all over because, it's cheap as chips buying in Italy. Mm-hmm. And they've dumped it in Daikanyama where they can rake up the price.
They can charge a fortune for it.
But the pizza there is really good, and it's not too expensive. If you're happy with just the margarita, or if you want to kind of splash out and take your girlfriend there and, maybe pay 2,500 yen for the two of you, like I do, then that's a good one as well. Italy, which is just by the entrance to Daikanyama Station.
Right.
So, yeah, pizza. That's pizza. Finally, a good favorite of mine, the Lawson 100 yen store. This is a real cheapo find, because everything in there is 100 yen plus tax, so it's 105 yen. But you can't really go wrong if you're a cheapo, and you know that all you have to do is count the number of items that you're holding, and that's the limit of how much you're going to spend.
Yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes 100 yen is not actually the cheapest price. You can actually end up spending more than you intend.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to... this is one of the classic tricks of a discount store with... I'm sure most countries have the equivalent of a 100 yen store. In England, it was like the £1 shop or the 99p shop. And, of course, they maybe lose on some of the products, but some of the products, they're getting a big margin because they buy stuff that's maybe it's going to go out of date soon, or it's just a product line that wasn't popular, and they can kind of, buy stuff in bulk and negotiate really low prices.
Yeah. So, I can't really comment on Lawson Store 100 directly, but I think in general the quality of the stuff you get in 100 yen shops in Japan is a lot better than what you get in similar places overseas. Like you mentioned the 99p shop. In New Zealand, we have the $2 shop.
Yeah.
And I can say a $2 shop in New Zealand is just full of absolute rubbish.
Right.
But, the 100 yen shops in Japan actually have some decent stuff.
I would add to that if you want to buy a spoon or some bog roll or something, you could go to your supermarket and buy it, or you could go to a 100 yen store and buy it, and you'll be buying the same quality.
Right, sure. Yeah, that's true.
One cheapo tip, which we haven't mentioned on the site yet, is often the supermarkets aren't really cost-effective places to buy stuff. Sure, there are some discount supermarkets, like OK Supermarket, but you go to your local station and there'll be a Seibu supermarket or something, and that's it's not really a good place to buy the budget stuff. If you want to, as I was saying, buy a spoon or something, it's better to head to the Lawson store, because you'll basically be getting the same kind of quality and you'll be paying a fraction of the price. Another thing I was going to add is I always used to buy fruit from the 100 yen stores. Because fruit in Japan is, seems to be some sort of luxury item where you buy...
You bought fruit from the Lawson store, or did you buy it from just a different 100 yen shop?
The Lawson store? Yeah, I used to... There was a Lawson store next to where I lived in Nakamegedo.
Because I think that's probably something that's a bit different about Lawson store, the fact that they have fruit and veggies.
Yeah.
I think that's not very common for 100 yen shops in general. So,
but it's a good place to buy fruit, because fruit is it just attracts such a premium in Japan.
Yeah,
very difficult to buy fruit that's resembling the price of fruit in any other country in the world. It's like it's a kind of luxury item.
Well, I think it is it's partly a cultural thing, isn't it? People give fruit as a gift, and I don't think it's just because of the price. It's it just has a different value.
Yeah, it is. In a sense, it is like a luxury item. As I'm saying, it's as you say, it's like a gift. It's not like you just kind of have a load of apples for breakfast. You know, you buy one apple for 500 yen and give it to somebody who looked after your dog or whatever.
Yeah.
And but one of the things about fruit in Japan is it all looks perfect.
The quality is amazing
because they're not only grading the kind of taste of the fruit, but they're grading the way it looks in a very very strictly. You know, there's gradings in every country. I know there is in the UK at least, but in Japan, you know, you look at all the apples and they're all exactly the same shape and exactly the same size.
Yeah, definitely.
But I found the stuff in Lawson, because it's a little bit cheaper, they're maybe not so fussy about the way it looks. And so basically, you're getting the same kind of quality fruit in terms of how it tastes and stuff, but it's not the same visual quality.
Yeah, just a few blemishes.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Okay, so I think that pretty much wraps it up for what we've done on the site in the last couple of weeks. Should we just talk about what's coming up?
Yeah, what have we got in the pipeline?
It's a good question.
That's a good question.
I guess in terms of events, this is actually starting right now. I mean, we're going to cover it in the Cheapo weekend, but this week is Tokyo Designers Week. So that Tokyo Designers Week itself is actually an event. It's a bit confusing because it's actually a week when all this kind of design stuff happens.
Yeah.
But Tokyo Designers Week itself is actually an event which happens in Jingu Gaien. So. But at the same time, there are numerous other events around the place. Like there's events at Midtown. There's probably something at Roppongi Hills. You know, Minami Aoyama, that whole kind of area. There tends to be a lot of parties, exhibitions and things. So, yeah, we'll be covering a bit of that in the Cheapo weekend.
And there was a Cheapo tip about nail art for getting in half price.
Yes, apparently if you check their the Tokyo Designers Week website, if you paint your nails in a certain way, like I'm not sure of the details, the theme, you know, following the theme of the event, then you can get in for half price. So presumably that applies as much to men as women. I don't know.
I should hope so. I think if my experience is anything to go by, it would, because I was queuing up to get in a nightclub once. And I had sandals on, and they said, you can't get in with those shoes. But the girl I was with had a spare pair of heels in her bag, so I put them on, and they let me in.
Nice.
So, yes, a nice transsexual note to finish on.
Yes.
Yep. So, thanks for tuning in to the Tokyo Cheapo podcast, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, see you around.
See ya.